Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken today. Pleasure being with you. Always a pleasure. It really is an honor to be with you anytime I get the chance. Want to start with what is really the big national news, and it will affect you. And really, that's what we all want to know. Whenever we hear the big stories, and in this case, it's the UAW strike. Whenever you hear the big stories, you go, "What does this do for me?" And it may have a couple of different implications for Southern California. The first and most obvious would be any sort of inventory issues that our dealers have, right? That has some obvious and direct implications to a lot of people. The other thing, which may be a little more difficult to gauge, is what this does as far as the overall labor movement in America. I was watching News Nation today, and they had a guy on Praz Submarinian is his name. He's a reporter with Yahoo Finance. He's their auto reporter there. And they asked him about, what does this mean to people who are not in the UAW, this strike that was authorized last night? And I thought this was more universal. This really hits home as to how this could affect us in Southern California, especially considering how many of our neighbors, our friends, and maybe you, are on the picket lines.
You know, for this country, for most Americans, they're seeing that labor is sort of having a moment here in this country. We're talking about, Teamsters taking on the UPS, SAG, and WGA taking on Hollywood. And I think we're watching here the UAW asking for nearly 40% in wage hikes, a defined pension plan, adjustment, inflation adjustments, things like that. And Americans are asking themselves, why don't I have that? So we'll see. You know, right as of right now, the UAW, the strikes are very popular amongst Americans. 3/4 of Americans are actually supporting the UAW here. But we'll see how that goes as this continues. On.
That's part of the reason that we've seen so many of these strikes of late, so many of the different collective bargaining agreements that have talked about here are the wages now, next year, the year after, and so forth. What they're doing is trying to build in cost of living increases to compensate for what's gone on with inflation. Now, employers are saying, wow, we just got hit with this inflation too. And it is a delicate balance because while our household incomes are all dropping, you and I are making less money today than we were a year ago and far less money than we were 2 years ago if we haven't had a raise, just based on what our spending power is. We're making less. The numbers are the same, but the buying power has dropped, right? So we're saying, well, we want a cost of living increase, a COLA. And that's what the UAW is looking for, is they're looking for that in writing. What is our cost of living increase? They used to have that. Back when we had the Great Recession, the UAW took concessions because, you remember, the big three were all toast. And we had to have bailouts for General Motors and for what is now Stellantis. That's a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Fiat. It's gone through all this. It used to be Daimler, and it used to be the whatever. It used to be Chrysler, whatever. So now we're seeing that the UAW is saying, listen, we took one for the team when we had to. And since then, you've seen profits go up. Your C-suite is making 40% more, but we're not. We have less as far as our buying power goes. And the employers, not just automakers, I'll leave them a little bit separate here, and I'll also leave the studios out of this because they can... But for employers, they're going, and I'm talking largely mom-and-pop stores, Main Street, small business. This is where things are hurting right now. So... they had supply chain issues. Finally, supply chain opens up, and all of a sudden, inflation hits. And so the stores have less buying power. Their prices are going up in order to try to maintain their inventory, and they're getting hit with additional costs that they didn't have in the past. And now their employers are saying, yeah, but we need to make more money to keep doing this too. And the employers are thinking, man, our bottom line can't handle this. I don't have nearly as much sympathy for places like studios who are seeing the streaming revolution. I have very little sympathy for the studios. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the automakers. I don't. And I've heard critics that are saying, well, the union's being greedy. They're trying to get a 40% raise, and they want to work 32 hours a week, and that's just greedy. And I thought some of these demands are what we would call in negotiating opening salvos. Right. We're going to throw it out there so we can back off of it later. And they already backed off of like the wage thing. They asked for 40% increases. It's down to 36% now. It'll come down to 30% at some point. But why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they try to be greedy right now? The C-suite is making a killing. The profits of the automakers are up. And as much as they're saying, well, we have to be ready for the EVs, and the EVs are going to be costly and all this other stuff, they are positioning themselves right now. Your GMs, your Fords, your Stellantis, Chrysler, Fiat, Daimler, whatever you want to call them, they are positioning themselves to be at the forefront of this EV revolution. And when you think about it, they only have competition from one other company when it comes to EVs, and that's obviously Tesla. No other EV brand is making waves at all. So why shouldn't the workers demand their slice of the pie? And why shouldn't they say, listen, as the pie grows, we just want our slice to grow the same at the same rate? And enough of this, what's good for business is good for me garbage, is only good for me if I actually see the benefits. If Netflix is seeing profit, but they're not paying the writers anymore, then how is that good for everybody? If Ford is seeing the profits, but the workers on the line are not seeing the benefits, then how is that rising tide lifting all ships? It's not. It's not. And it almost makes me think, been a lot of complaints over the years, right, about executives getting too much, that their pay raises are going up higher, and there's this equity divide, right? Had the C-suite not taken 40% pay raises at the big three automakers, would the union be asking for 40%? No. So the big three seem to be okay with offering 20%. Yeah, there've been offers that when they've started negotiating, they said, well, we'll give you a 17, we'll give you a 20% pay raise. Well, why would that not have been good enough for the executives? Why is it that the executives, well, listen, if you want me to keep being your chief financial officer, you're going to have to give me 40% more. And the company goes, okay. Meanwhile, you got a guy in the line who says, hey, if you want me to keep installing dashboards, you got to give me 40% more. They're like, how dare you greedy SOB? we can get somebody else to come in here and do that for less. Well, guess what? You can find somebody else on LinkedIn to be your CFO for less than a 40% increase, can't you? It seems that this greed has consequences, and they're coming home to roost right now. We'll talk with our technology reporter from ABC, and we'll talk a little bit about what these strikes are and why the strikes, they're not just striking everywhere. They're what they're calling targeted walkouts. That is next. I'm Chris Merrill, in for Jenna Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Mike Dubuski, is our ABC News tech reporter. And Mike, I was just talking about the UAW strike. And one of the commentators I saw from Yahoo Finance said that this is really, labor is having a moment, so to speak. Mm. I was thinking about the repercussions of the UAW strike, as well as the SAG strike, the WGA strike, the Teamsters almost struck. You and I talked about that briefly yesterday. And it does seem as though there may be some momentum for some union right now, whereas a few years ago, it looked like that momentum had pretty much gone away.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really interesting moment for American labor. Strike summer is a term that people throw around. You mentioned the dual strikes in Hollywood. UPS threatened to strike. I actually spoke to a guy yesterday in Detroit who is a member of the UAW, but he actually doesn't work for the big three. He works for Blue Shield Blue Cross, or Blue Cross Blue Shield, excuse me.
Yeah.
And they're also striking. They're out on the picket lines demanding much the same things that the UAW auto workers are demanding. They see these record profits enjoyed at the top of their companies, and they have seen the blue collar level of their companies not see proportional gains in that regard. And that's what they're trying to correct with these union strikes and these demands that they're putting forward. I think you see that show up in the auto industry. You see it show up in the Blue Cross Blue Shield strike that's going on in Detroit right now. Yep. And beyond.
Yeah, we've got Kaiser looking at things here, and we've had hotel workers in Southern California as well. I see that the head of the UAW there is saying that the automakers collectively have made $21 billion in the first half of the year, and billions more in recent years without giving hourly workers their quote-unquote fair share after they gave big wage concessions back in 2009 when General Motors, what was Chrysler, Daimler, Fiat, now it's Stellantis, they were all going through bankruptcy, and they took one for the team at the time. Now they're saying, look, we got to, we're behind 12 years, 13, 14 years here. We got some making up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to recoup the losses that they see as having missed out on since the Great Recession. Now, of course, it's worth mentioning the automakers' point of view here. They're facing sort of dual challenges here, Chris. One is that they are facing competition from automakers that build cars here in the United States that don't employ union labor forces. BMW, Mercedes, Honda, Toyota, Nissan all have plants here in the United States that don't use union labor forces. They say that if they are, the big three say, if they are to accede to the UAW's demands, that they're not going to be competitive with those car makers anymore. The other part of this is the transition to electric vehicles. Both California and the European Union have mandated that 2035 is the year that we have to make the switch over to from gas to electric vehicles. And that is a multi-billion dollars worth of development that the automakers are facing down. So they say, yes, we have enjoyed record profits and revenues, but we're going to need every penny of that if that's going to happen. So the automakers, make that argument. The UAW makes the argument that their, profits are still outsized, especially when it comes to the executive level salaries. We're going to have to see how this plays out here on day one of the strike.
Mike Dubuski is our ABC News tech reporter, and we're covering the UAW strike. How close are we? I know that there has been some negotiation. There have been some offers, but it seems like we are a ways away on this.
Yeah, definitely. So the latest that we have is that the UAW is sticking to its about 36% wage increase demand. Most recently, we saw movement from General Motors, and this was 2 days ago now. They're now offering 20% wage increases, matches what Ford was offering earlier in the week. Stellantis keeping to 17.5% wage increases. There are other offers that they're making with regards to pension plans and retirement funds, the length of certain work weeks. But if you listen to certain auto executives like Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, he says there's a limit to this, right? We can only go so far before this does not become economically feasible for us. One estimate said that this could cost, over the course of the four-year contract, $80 billion to the big three American automakers if they are to give the union what it wants. They're doing well. They're not doing that well. So we'll have to see again how this plays out. It's, you can look at these numbers, 36 and 20, and they're pretty far apart. So, we'll have to see.
Yeah, a long ways. Yeah. So then, Mike, why not strike all the plants all at once? They just did selective strikes or targeted strikes of three plants, one for each of the big three automakers.
Yes, that's right. So there is a General Motors plant in Wentzville, Missouri, a Ford plant in Wayne, Michigan, and a Stellantis plant in Toledo, Ohio, that have all are all striking today. Everything else is up and running. And it's also worth mentioning that those three plants are not crucial operations to the big three. The GM plant makes the Chevy Colorado. It's that company's like ninth best seller, the pickup truck. Ford, the plant that they shut down, makes the Bronco and the Ranger, popular vehicles, but not, overly popular vehicles. And then the Stellantis plant makes the Jeep Wrangler, which is a very popular and valuable vehicle for them. But the thinking is that dealers have a month-long supply of Wranglers on the lot, and this actually won't hurt them that much, at least in the short term. So it's an interesting strategy. The goal here is to make a dent in automakers' profits and the supply of the vehicles that they have on dealer lots, but maybe not to completely shut everything down. The other part of this is that the UAW has a strike fund, right? They have this big bucket of money that would be depleted more quickly if everyone were to walk off the job at the same time by select targeting certain plants and certain facilities. That extends the life of that strike fund and potentially allows the UAW to extend this strike for longer if that's indeed what they want to do.
All right. Mike Dubuisky, our ABC News tech reporter. Mike, great to catch up with you. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Let's hope that this comes to an end soon. Thanks, Mike.
Yes. Take care. Bye.
All right. Yeah. So if you can't get a vehicle, what do you do? Well, if you're one dude in Hollywood, you decide, I'll just take one. But the cops were watching, and he did it anyway. And it took him forever to catch him. What in the heck is going on? Next, Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I'm Chris Merrill for John and Ken on KFI AM 640. Quite the saga last night as this dude is wandering around inside a Tesla dealership looking for keys, and he's very nonchalant. Lights are on, lots of people outside watching what's going on, police helicopter overhead shining the light down. Guy is just going through the key box, and he's pushing the unlock button to see which car. Boop, boop. Nah, I don't think I want the Tacoma. Boop, boop. Do I want the, nah, I don't want the Tundra. Boop, boop. Do I want the, I like the Prius, but I feel a little small. Boop, boop. Oh, Corolla? No, I don't want that. It's so cliche. Boop, boop. Finally, he settles on one of the newer model Toyotas, and he goes out there, and is anybody capturing him? No. No. Just goes into the lot, grabs the car, speeds off. Well, I say speeds off, but he ends up running into one of those fences. And it's not like the movies. If you ram into a fence at a low speed in a Toyota, you don't burst through right away. You actually have to back up and do it a few times. And that's exactly what happened. So Channel 7 had the story on this as they were live on the scene. I'm live on the scene, and as you can see behind me, a fence.
This is that chain link fence where the suspect actually tried to ram his car through and was able to make a getaway. Some investigators are just coming out here earlier this morning and closing it. I want to take a moment to show you what that looked like. Listen to this.
She's going to show us. Listen, it is pretty impressive because the guy rams the fence and then doesn't get through. Throws it in reverse. Okay, at that point, so he goes through the fence, and it's one of those places got the cars in a fenced-in area. And then he drives the car outside the fenced-in area, and then he's behind a gate, right? So there's another barrier. And he rams into that, and he doesn't get through. So then he rams it again. Finally, he's able to break through, and you hear, as soon as he hits the street, then... I don't know why he wasn't stopped first. Now, listen, this is not criticism because I know I don't have the full story, but I do know that there was a helicopter overhead. There was a crime in progress. There were about a gajillion witnesses. This is going to be all over the Twitter machine with all the photos, and it's going to be viral. And the guy just gets out and speeds away. Pew! Takes off. Out of there. I have thoughts. I'll continue, though, for a moment.
You can see the suspect ramming the car through the dealership fence multiple times before making his getaway. Now, this all started around 11:30 last night at the Toyota dealership on Hollywood Boulevard. Police responded to a break-in at the dealership and found the suspect inside.
Okay, so police responded. They see the guy inside. Feels like you're on a crime in progress. I don't know. Maybe they're waiting on backup. Could be.
Now, officers asked the suspect to exit, and instead, he stole a car. You can even see him going through the keys in the lockbox, trying to decide which one to take.
Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating. He was taking the keys and boop, boop. Do I want that one? Nah. Rifles through another. Boop, boop. Oh, that's... I didn't really want that in a blue. I'm going to see if we can... Boop, boop. Oh, red just attracts attention. Let's see what's... Oh, a white one. I like that one. I'm not joking. That's exactly what he did.
He took off in this white sedan, driving through that chain link fence and then ramming through the security gate. The suspect made a getaway on Hollywood Boulevard, and that's when a pursuit ensued.
I don't know, again, I don't know why the pursuit ensued instead of he's ramming through the gate. Can't you stop him from ramming through the gate at the time? And maybe there weren't cars on scene or something. I don't know. But I feel like there's more to the story that not only do I not know, but we should know. It should be revealed.
Officers tried several times to stop him before he attempted to break into this Lamborghini dealership, one in Beverly Hills. And officers responded to that scene, and the suspect was tased during the standoff. Around 2 a.m., he was finally taken into custody.
Wait a minute. Guy breaks into a Toyota dealership in Hollywood, and they sit back and they watch, and they're like, well, you know, if he comes out, then we'll go after him. Tries to get into a Lambo dealership in Beverly Hills, and all of a sudden, all right, SWAT respond, all units. We have a young black male inside a Lambo dealership in Beverly Hills. All units, priority one, move. And then they get him. I told you I had thoughts. Don't steal a car off a lot. Aside from the whole moral, legal, you're an idiot, everybody hates you, unproductive member of society, throw away the key, all that stuff. It's just dumb. You see, criminals are not smart generally, and what happens is they go and they steal a car off the dealer lot, which is behind different gates, has security systems, and those cars very rarely have any gas in them. So if you get out and there's a hot pursuit, Roscoe P., you're not going very far. Unless it's an EV. Maybe you can go a little farther than if it's charged. But if you're going to go steal a Lamborghini, why did you start at the Toyota dealership?
That's a very good question.
Don't you believe, Deborah, that in his mind, he was thinking, I'm going to steal this Toyota. And then he got out on the street. And the police are chasing him, right? Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, crap, I need a faster car. And there's no gas in this one because they don't put more than about a gallon or two into these cars at any given time anyway. Mm-hmm. So then he goes, I know, I need a Lambo. Then I'll be able to get away because obviously he saw Cannonball Run. So he goes to the Lambo dealership and then thinks he's going to get a fast car there. And that's when.
You're giving this guy a lot of credit.
I just think it was spur of the moment.
He thought those thoughts though when he was going through the process? I mean, that's.
No, I think as he was getting away, he was like, crap, this was the wrong car to steal. I need a faster car. And that's when he went to the Lambo dealer.
What I'm getting at is I think these crooks are ding-dongs. And so I don't think he really thought things through. And maybe he just happened to pass a Lamborghini.
What there, Tim? What is he, Tim?
Ding-dong.
Oh, so
not the smartest person in the world. I mean, come on.
He passed the Lambo dealership, and that's when he was like, hey!
Oh, hey! Right. Okay. And really, you think you're going to get away, as you said, Beverly Hills, you're going to be able to get away with stealing a Lamborghini at Beverly Hills? No. So this guy is not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No. And now he'll be a dull tool in prison is what he's going to be.
Eating
ding-dongs! All right, listen. While we talk about these police chase ding-dongs that are stealing cars, there's more smashes and grabs at there's a jeweler in Newport Beach. Guys came in 25 seconds. They smashed everything up and took off with about a buttload of watches, thousands of dollars worth. We'll check with Blake Trolley here in just a few moments and find out what in the world is happening with these robberies. And there was one in Chinatown that's left a woman, an elderly woman, in the hospital with her eyes swollen.
Yeah, did you see her face?
Horrible story.
God.
I did. It is devastating. That is next. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
The crime wave, and we're talking about the crimes across Southern California and break-ins all over, smash and grabs at the jewelry store and such. Blake Trolley is joining us right now from the KFI newsroom, and Blake, I guess I should say you're on the street with your reporting today. There was one of these horrible incidents of crime where we actually had some violence occur with a woman in Chinatown.
Yeah, and you know what, Chris, this isn't even the first time that we're seeing violence with all this brazen theft that we're now starting to see across Southern California. Just a little bit of a recap before we get into this latest incident. Within the last few weeks, we've seen a jewelry store owner in Pasadena be attacked with bear spray, including the woman, the elderly woman, he was walking out of the door. So the thieves came up to the door. It's a remote door. They timed it, sprayed him, sprayed the woman that he was walking out the door, and then proceeded to ransack his store. Not long after that, again in the San Gabriel Valley, this time we're in El Monte, a thief pepper sprayed the security guard at the front of a jewelry store, went inside, pepper sprayed three employees, and those employees began fighting back. I'm sure you saw the video. It was viral. The staff members were hitting the guy with a stick and chasing him down the street, and police have identified that guy. So here we are, within a month, another violent attack on somebody working. A smoke shop employee was brutally attacked in LA's Chinatown yesterday. The woman's eyes have been left swollen shut. Robber walked into the store yesterday, begins stealing stuff. She goes to confront him, and he pushes her to the ground. She gets up again. This is all caught on video, by the way. She gets up again to confront him again, and this time he punches her in the face, leaving her bloody. So she has been taken to a hospital. The store's owners say they're hoping she recovers. The store's owner says the guy was actually in the store before this happened. And he says that he notified security, hey, there's this guy that's, been floating around. Keep an eye on him. But security was unfortunately not there yesterday. But, three violent incidents just off the top of my head, all here in L.A. County within the last month.
Yeah, listen, a lot of these are making, they're high profile, they're all caught on camera. In this case, I saw the photos of the woman, and it is heartbreaking. I mean, it was a real beating. Like you said, they're hoping she's going to be okay. It was bad. It was really, really bad. What's the feedback? I know whenever we talk to law enforcement, they say, well, we're doing what we can. Well, we're gonna get better on this. And now I see that the governor is going to allocate a couple $100 million to try to really crack down on crime. But it seems like there's a lot of platitudes by politicians and not a lot of action.
Well, I think what people want to see is policy change, right? People really want to see stiffer punishments for thieves. A lot of the sentiment that we get, especially when, not so much with the governor's latest announcement, but with the Retail Crimes Task Force, is people, they know that a lot of people that are being arrested aren't facing stiff prosecution. Now, prosecutors have fired back saying that a lot of this theft is not the type of theft that people are going to walk on. But that said, I think there's just this general feeling that with the current state of the legal system, it has emboldened criminals to get to the point that we're at now. And as to this employee, this is something that I know was a concern of some people, was that employees are going to start trying to stand up to these criminals themselves, and they're going to get hurt. In El Monte, you have a success story there, right? They were able to chase the guy down the street, beat him up with a stick after all of them were pepper sprayed. But in this case, this woman tries confronting the thief, and she's overpowered. She's a 60-year-old woman. So the guy pushes her down. She tries to get back up, and he punches her in the face. And I know that that has really been a concern with people getting involved with these.
So, Blake Trolley, a KFI News reporter, as we talk about policy, and I know some people are pointing fingers at our DA, Gascon, and yet Gascon is now being sued for catering to people on the right. So the people on the right can't stand what he's doing with crime. People on the left don't like what he was doing when it came to looking into election interference. What's the latest on this lawsuit?
Just reading the lawsuit, if you had told me 2 years ago that D.A. Gascon would be wrapped up in such a lawsuit, I would have never believed that in a million years.
Right.
D.A. Gascon's being sued by the owner of a Michigan-based software company who says he was wrongfully targeted. Chris, I was at the press conference where the D.A. announced the arrest of Eugene Yu over in Michigan. The lawsuit alleges that D.A. Gascon and members of his staff recklessly relied on a tip from a Texas-based election denial group in the case. Eugene Yu, again, he was arrested last year in Michigan for allegedly storing election workers' personal information on servers in China. About a month later, charges against Yu were dropped. Other charges were filed. Then those charges were dropped. Well, Yu says all of this action has led to nearly half of his clients leaving, costing him $80 million in business, or roughly $80 million in business. The lead prosecutor at the time when all these charges went down, he was put on leave. The DA's office has denied to answer any of my questions about this lawsuit. A couple of those were, did you use any other evidence besides this tip that you apparently used from this election-based denial group? The other question that I had was, is that lead prosecutor, what is his status with the office? So those are all questions we're working to get to the bottom of. But definitely not something I think we all forecasted.
No, none of us did. All right, Blake, thanks for the hard work this entire week. Great job, my friend. And thank you for thanks for carrying the water for me on this show. I appreciate that. John and Ken, appreciate you not letting it slip through the cracks, too.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Blake. Blake Trolley, KFI News. In just a few moments, there is an effort to say no new taxes and try to make it even harder to raise taxes, while some are trying to make it easier to raise taxes. We'll find out what this is next. I'm Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken today. KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.